Hey everybody, welcome back to the Blueprint. Today I've got a special guest. I know him, he's a solid guy. I'm excited about it. It's Ray Higdon. He's the CEO of the Higdon Group. They increase profits for business owners while putting God first. Ray has helped put big numbers on the boards for sales teams. He's not only an author, he's a speaker, he runs a podcast. This guy is an incredibly solid guy. He shared the stage with Tony Robbins, Magic Johnson, Robert Kiyosaki, Gary Vaynerchuk. He is someone that I lean on. He's there, like right now, when I ask him. And Ray, I just want to thank you for your time and I want to welcome you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, let's dive right in. For people that don't know, Ray's, I guess, how would you phrase it, Ray? Are you just network marketing, right?
So I have spent a lot of time in the network marketing space. I've worked with a lot of different companies and leaders. I was the number one income earner of a network marketing company. Now I have, I still have my hand in a lot of different network marketing type things and companies and leaders and teams. But I have a lot of different projects. So I'm mainly helping business owners increase their profits. Majority of them want to have some kind of faith element. You know, I came to Christ a little bit over 2 years ago, and for me, it was a complete game changer and changed everything in my life and business and everything. And so I'm typically helping someone around their sales teams is usually kind of where I'm brought in.
Got it. Perfect. So as far as the blueprint goes, you know, my brain works. I kind of compartmentalize and categorize everything. Income, credit, assets, taxes. I kind of categorize you as the ultimate income guy because you see the income streams and you know where to increase them when you look at a business. Right now, when you help people, when you're onboarding somebody, what's the very first thing that you look at? Or even a better way to phrase the question is when you're evaluating someone, what are the common mistakes that you've helped so many thousands and thousands of people at this point? What do you know is going to be a problem? Like, what do you know going in that is the first thing that you get to look at?
So there's two things I'll look at first, and sometimes I'm dealing with a solopreneur that has a, successful business. Sometimes I am talking to a larger, company, but I'm mainly dealing with the execs or the CEO. And so there's two primary things I look at and ask questions around before we get into the nitty gritty. And that is, number one, is there any kind of sabotage? Do they have any kind of sabotage going on? And, do they, are they struggling? Are they stuck? Do they have any patterns? Just kind of overall broad patterns of, hitting a ceiling in their income or profits or whatever. And so, is there any sabotage there? And so I do a little bit of asking them some common questions I've learned that, that help with that. And then number two is around fulfillment. Tony Robbins says success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And for me, I had built my business, an Inc. 5000 business. It generated over $30 million. And, I was just like, okay. So I remember thinking a long time ago, like, man, if I had $1 million a year, man, I would, that would feel amazing. That would be awesome. And, I had my first $1 million year in 2013, my first $1 million month, 2014, my first $1 million day, 2015, my first $3 million day, 2016. And all of those things were great, but none of them fulfilled me. That money didn't do what I thought it would do for me. And so what I don't want to do is I don't want to go down the road and tweak their debt and help them with, you know, this and help them with that and fix their funnels and their marketing and their promotion. And we do all of this stuff and they still don't actually feel the way that they were hoping they would feel. And so I want to find out about what is fulfillment to them. You know, Zig Ziglar says money won't buy happiness, but everyone wants to find out on their own. And that's true, right? And so, you know, I want to find out what is going to be meaningful in their life. What is actually going to, you know, just turn their world upside down and have them just, you know, with sparkling eyes, just love what they do. You know, when I prayed to the Lord, you know, last year, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing for me in my business? And what are you creating for me? And he said, freedom. And so I now look at what I do. I love every single minute of what I do. And, you know, because I teach people how to, you know, how to increase their profits, which is a worldly desire. And a lot of people want that, right? And also how to put God first, how to hear from him, how to have a relationship with him. And so we are constantly bringing people to the Lord on almost a daily basis. That I have systems. When you buy a pencil eraser from, not that we sell pencil erasers, but if you buy anything from my company, anything at any dollar amount, whether it's $50,000 coaching or whether it's a dollar booklet or something, you get sent a bonus webinar on how to increase your profits while putting God first. It's 37 minutes. The first, first 27 minutes is how to increase profits, strategies, what works in marketing. The last, you know, 10 minutes or so is how to have a better relationship with God. And so, I look at that, you know, I look at, you know, what's going to be fulfilling to them, because what would suck is just to stay on the hamster wheel and stay on the treadmill of, I think more money will make me feel more worthy and more awesome, and it doesn't. And so, yes, let's go out and make lots of money. Let's use worldly wealth to gain friends for ourselves, Luke 16:9. But, you know, like, what is truly going to fulfill you? What's going to fill your cup? And because I've met plenty of people at $100 million or above that aren't fulfilled, and doubling their income isn't going to fulfill them either. And so, you know, that's the two areas I'm looking at first. Is there sabotage, are they really on a path of fulfillment? Are they really making a difference? So that's probably an unconventional answer, but that's the answer.
No, it's a great answer. And just by the way, everyone here actually is going to have access to that 37 minute video.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your gift. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I encourage everybody to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the kind of your timeline, as far as, you know, your rise, I've heard you speak about how you guys leverage social media.
Sure.
What's that look like then? Have there been big changes? Are there ever, you know, we know there's ever changing strategies, but what do you think that looks like today for the startup entrepreneur, for the, you know, whether you're the W-2 guy that's making the transition, or you're at that $100,000 level and you know you need to do more?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the biggest transitions is the changing around access to people that don't know you, right? So, like, one of the guys that he's amazing. He used to actually be in my network marketing team, a guy named Russell Brunson, and he started ClickFunnels. It's a, you know, I don't know what they're at now, but multiple $100 million a year company, very extremely successful. And he, you know, he made the switch a few years ago because he was mainly paid advertising. And back in the day, up until probably maybe 5 years ago, for you to reach people that didn't know you, you almost always had to spend money. You almost always had to buy ads. And ads started getting more and more expensive, and organic started getting more and more viral. Interesting, right? And so now, and I really believe we can owe a lot of this, whether you like them or not, to TikTok, because TikTok came out with an algorithm that was different. You know, on Facebook, you've never had a post reach every friend you got. Never. It's never happened, right? But TikTok started analyzing not by who knew you, but by your actual content and what they thought people would enjoy. And so non-influencers started going to TikTok years ago, and all of a sudden these non-influencers started gaining massive momentum to people that didn't even know them because it was a different algorithm. And so some of the other, you know, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, started taking like, hey, people are paying attention over there. And so now you are in an area where it's never been easier to reach people you don't know for free. And that doesn't negate the benefit of advertising. It's just advertising is more expensive. So you don't, you know, your mom and pop advertiser really don't know, they can't really cut it on social media, I don't think. You have to be willing to, you know, for customer acquisition, you have to be willing to pay all the way to break even or maybe even more. So if you're getting a $1,000 buyer, you're going to be successful if you're willing to spend about $1,000 to get them. And hopefully you have good processes in place to get them to buy other things too. And so that's a little different. You used to be able to, you know, spend a quarter and you'd make $10, you know, much different, but the benefit of organic. And so it's a powerful combination now of, if you're going organic, short videos and reels do reach a lot of people. If you're consistent, live video does work well. If you're not consistent, it doesn't, you know, it just doesn't work very well. And with ads, you just got to be really smart about it. You have to understand what's the purpose of advertising. That's to create the ability to spend more. So it has to be tracked. It has to be utilized. But you see more and more people who back in the day used to only do ads. Now they all have podcasts, right? They all are realizing that their organic stuff is reaching a lot of people.
Yeah. Now you're primarily, when we're talking about paid ads, we're primarily talking about Facebook, right?
I mean, there's, you know, I still, for me, I've built on Facebook the longest. And so I still get the best return on Facebook advertising. There's lots of advertising out there, but I still personally get the best return from Facebook.
Yeah. And so essentially a strategy that we're looking at is a hybrid, right?
I really believe that when you start, if you just rely on ads, that's, you can do it. It's tough, but when you start to mix in content that educates, that brings value, that is perhaps entertaining, if you can pull that off, right? When you start to bring in value organically, that's when your ads are going to work a whole lot more. When people are seeing like, oh, I've heard of this guy, or, oh, you know, I've seen his podcast or something like that. It really gives a lot of oomph to your ads.
Yeah. I think something else we should point out, Gary Vee pounds this drum all the time. Tony's talked about it a couple times. It's free right now. Is it going to be free forever? I don't know. You don't know, but it's free right now. And that regret that regret piece, if you looked back and been like, I could have reached millions of people in 2025 for free. So it's probably go time.
Oh, it's never been easier. I mean, I've been at this for, you know, for a while. You know, I did a video a day starting on July 15, 2009. And I did a video, at least one video a day, every day for 12 years straight and without missing a day. And so I'm a very consistent dude. I've done a lot of videos but it's never been easier. You know, it really never, I mean, it used to be so different. It's never been easier to reach more people that don't know you. So that takes away the excuse of, oh, you know, I don't have a big following or anything. Well, it's never been easier to build a following. And if you are going to build a following, there's three questions that will really help you. And if you can't answer these three questions powerfully, then your brand isn't going to have momentum. It's not going to have velocity. And those three questions are, who do I help? How do I help them? Why should they listen to me? Those are the three questions. So who do I help? And typically that's going to be helping the person you used to be, right? Now you may have a widget or a service or a trinket or whatever. Okay, fine. For a personal brand, it's basically, who did I used to be? So for me, I help a lot of successful people that haven't found fulfillment. And so I help them, you know, increase their success and profits while actually feeling this bigger than them, you know, projection, right? Like of who they're helping, like they're either expanding the kingdom or they're, you know, helping kids somehow or something like that. How do I help them is typically a numbers-based answer. My four-step system to more profits, my seven steps to la la la, that whatever. You know, it's not your product. It's not the by buying my shampoo or my juice or my whatever. It's usually like a process, a seven-step process around grief or depression or trauma or energy or weight loss or whatever. And then why should they listen to me? Because I was once just like them. That's who we want to listen to. So like when I'm coaching someone, if I coach someone and they, you know, unfortunately, you know, they've dealt with the loss of a child, I know they're not going to listen to me, right? There's going to be part of them that says, yeah, easy for you to say. I have to point them to someone who has, because that's what we want. We want someone who understands us and relates with us. And again, I know I'm tending more on the personal brand side. You know, that is who I tend to work more with.
Yeah, but isn't that where even big companies are going, is that there's becoming a face so that people identify?
Yeah.
And to extrapolate that, like people want to know the face in front of the brand or behind the brand, however you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so even if you're, you know, and Simon Sinek says this, you know, starts with why, right? So even if you are a big commercial real estate guy, why do you stand out? Why should I want to work with you? What's going to give you the edge of, if I have two different commercial real estate guys to work with, why am I going with this guy? And same with lending, same with what mortgages, whatever, right? And so I really believe there's value in that way of thinking always. You know, I look at someone who I just love how he operates, and I got the pleasure of meeting with him and spending some time with him, a guy named David Green. And David Green launched Hobby Lobby. You know, as a kid, he dreamed of being a dime store manager because that would have made him the most successful guy in his family. But instead, he launches an $8 billion a year company with 44,000 employees and 1,055 stores. And oh, by the way, he donates 50% of his profits to charity. They say last year he gave away about $750 million. And he has funded over 1 billion children hearing the gospel. That's amazing, right? And so, like, if I'm not a Hobby Lobby guy, okay, but if I had to buy hobby kind of materials, I know where I'm going, no question. I don't care how much it is. I'm going to buy from that thing. And so it's, why should we buy from you? Why do we care about you? Why are we rooting for your company? And if you're the faceless corporate conglomerate, it's like, okay, well, all right. I think there's value to a personal brand, and even the, you know, the bigger companies that are trying to do more corporate-y traditional things.
Yeah. No, like, and trust. And there's that just like you said, that connection. I mean, like, if Bank of America put someone forward facing, we would learn to love them because we'd be indoctrinated with this warm fuzzy. And so, it's even as the little guy, it's something to really think about. That's gold nuggets right there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So you've got your book, the Faith-Driven Network Marketer. You've got your podcast, which is home-based profit.
Home business profits. Yep.
Yeah. How does everything, like, it's all content. How is everything interwoven? And have you, like, pulled those numbers out? And where I'm going with this is when people are starting up, it's a lot to focus on three or four things. Or do you look at it as one thing and you're like, I'm just pushing media out. I don't care if it's a book, a podcast, my socials. What's that look like in your brain so that we can see, you know, you're a success story. So, you know, if we're looking at you as a mentor, as a model, how's that working now? What's the mix?
Yeah.
What's the mix, and where's the success and the failures in that?
Yeah. So I mean, I guess I don't, I'm not 100% sure on when I realized this, but a very long time ago, probably, I mean, it's probably been 20 years, I just got it that the more value I put into the marketplace, the more valuable I become, and the more income comes, the more people I reach, et cetera, and so forth. And so, you know, it started when I attended a real estate investor association because that was my focus at the time in 2004. And I attend this event, and it was like a monthly get together here in I live in Naples, Florida. It was in Fort Myers, Florida. And so I watch what they do, and I'm like, man, I could do this. I think I should do this. So I started one in Naples. And then we had them in Charlotte County, Lee County, Collier County, Morgantown, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we had them, you know, all over, and they were starting to sprawl, and people liked the concepts. They were running them in their areas. And so I've just really been understanding that the more content I push out there, the more people I'm attracting, helping, and drawing toward me and whatever it is that I'm doing. And that's shown up differently. You know, our podcast has over 10 million downloads. You know, we have, I think, four best-selling books. You know, and so putting out content consistently has been just a thing for me for a long time. And I don't think it's not that it's too late. It's not too late. I've seen people that went from no influencer at all to just in the last year, all of a sudden they've had some video go viral or something went viral and they got humongous following. So, you know, hear what I'm telling you, but don't hear what I'm not telling you, right? And so nowadays, my number one marketing strategist is the Lord. I go on prayer walks. I listen. I stay in step with the Spirit. You know, He told me to write this book, and so I'm like, okay. And so I start writing it, and then when it comes back for editing. It was 3.5 hours. I rewrote six of the chapters and I was done with it and I put it out. And there's so many weird testimonials about the book on Amazon. I have multiple people that say, I never finish a book, but I finished this one. And so it's like, cool, you know, it's like, it's interesting. And so I do what's called stay in step with the Spirit. And so every single day, I'm asking for my daily bread. Lord, what is the best thing for me to do today to bring more hope to others and bring more glory to you? And he'll tell me. He gives me steps. He tells me what to promote. He told me to be on this podcast. And so I just don't move forward without him nudging me. And so I know that for the last 20 years, he's been honing my skills, right? He's been letting me learn from people. You know, I've learned from lots of amazing individuals, you know, Russell Brunson, Grant Cardone, and all kinds of different, you know, secular leaders and gurus and, you know, Tony and Gary and all these different guys. And now he's using all of that to guide and direct me and direct my paths. And so there's literally nothing that I do that I'm not getting a yes on in prayer. And so what he's having me do is I do a lot of in-depth coaching. I do a lot of different challenges. You know, people love challenges. So I do this 5-day challenge. I'm actually right in the middle of it right now. And so, you know, on these 5-day challenges, I may spend 3 or 4 hours with this group and just coaching them, just telling them what's holding them back, what's sabotaging them, what would be the best kind of prayers for them to get answers and wisdom. And so he's just created this business that I'm just so in love with. You know, in the past, I've had maybe 50% of my business that I loved and 50% that I'm like, I'll do it because it's profitable. That's not the case anymore. I literally love every single minute in my business in every single way. And I see the fruit everywhere I go. You know, I'll go to these random places and it's wild. People will come up and be like, Ray Higdon, oh my God, that one video changed my life about forgiving your dad. Oh my God, Ray Higdon, that, you know, and I just hear this all the time. And that's just him guiding me. I can't take credit for that. So it's not that I'm a master strategist. I'm just very good at listening and being obedient. And when he gives me a direction, I'm honored that the king would ask me to do that. And I do it with absolute excellence, the best that I can.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's good work.
Again, a non-conventional answer.
Or no, absolutely. So you're claiming that, you know, you're claiming, obviously you're guided, and there's some strategy that you've still learned. You've got nuggets under your cap. So like, people are always asking, you know, is there a viral strategy? Have you found something for network marketing or for your groups that you know just works? You know, whether it's a hook, or, you know, there are some formulas that you know that are successful at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the number, I could boil it down to one word. It's not the reason for all viral videos, but it is your most likely scenario. And that word is vulnerability. That's the word. That's the word. You know, when back in 2009, when I was bouncing back, because I lost everything in the real estate crash, $1 million in debt, foreclosure, divorce, depression, lots of tequila. And when I was bouncing back, I remember I'm hustling and grinding and chucking and jiving and, you know, just trying to make it happen. And I confided in someone. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I'm still actually working out of a house that's, you know, technically in foreclosure. And, you know, I don't know when they're going to come boot me out. And that guy, one day he says to me, he goes, well, hey, man, I'm going to do this other project. It was some competing project. And, you know, and I'm going to tell everyone that you're in foreclosure. And so I'm like, ah, screw it, I will. And so I go live that day, or no, I didn't go live because live wasn't a thing back then. I do a training and I say, hey, I got something to admit. And that is, you know, I got in over my head during real estate. I over leveraged everything. I mean, I would mortgage my dog if I could have back then. I mean, I'd get every bit of equity out working. And the truth is, you know, I'm in foreclosure. And that was a risky move, right? I was vulnerable. That skyrocketed my career. All of a sudden, everyone wants me on their podcast. All of a sudden, everyone wants me on their stage. All of a sudden, people are like, oh my God, you just gave me such hope. I'm struggling. And so vulnerability has been the key. And I'll tell you, one of them, probably the most meaningful one to me, is I was the number one income earner of a company. And I got asked to go up to Myrtle Beach. And so I had a teammate that wanted me to do a training and an opportunity thing in Myrtle Beach. And so I go to Myrtle Beach and I do the opportunity thing. Some people join, whatever. And then I have a spot for a training afterwards. And before I go on the training, I never, up to that point, I'd never had this happen before. I got this voice that said, talk about your dad. And I'm like, talk about my dad. Now, I had never talked about my dad. I had a completely terrible relationship with my dad that, you know, I grew up in a very abusive home. But I had reconnected with him in 2009 after not seeing him for 13 years. And so I got, talk about your dad. And I'm like, talk about my dad. And I don't know why, because I didn't know the Lord. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know one verse. I didn't know any of this stuff. And why was I obedient? I don't know. I really don't know. And so I talk about my dad and I say, you know, hey, listen, you know, when you forgive people, new things open up in your life. And I shared the story that for 13 years, I didn't talk to my dad because I grew up in an abusive home. I had every reason not to talk to him. And in 2009, I gave him a call. We reconnected. I flew up to Indiana and, you know, he met his grandsons for the first time. They were 9 and 10 at the time. And I came home, and that week is when I found that opportunity that I went on to become the number one income earner of. Now, I didn't know it, but that's actually scriptural. Mark 11, 24 says, when ye pray, pray as if you've already received. Mark 11, 25 says, and when you stand praying, forgive anyone of anything so your heavenly Father can forgive you. So forgiveness is actually associated with what it is that you want in this life. And so I share this story because I was instructed to by someone, something, you know, I don't know. When I finish, Kenneth, the guy that booked me for Myrtle Beach, comes walking at me down the aisle and he's sobbing. He's shaking. I mean, he is messed up. And I'm like, dang, dude, like, you okay, man? That touched you, huh? And he told me, he goes, listen, I can't believe you just shared that story. He said, I haven't talked to my dad in 17 years. And tomorrow I fly out for his funeral. I'm wow. Like, whoa. And what that did for me, because that was the first time I had ever been vulnerable on stage, ever. Up until then, I was just like, yeah, you know, these are my numbers. Like, I might wear two watches, you know, look at my Rolex, you know, like I was just a big show off. I was a big, big bunch of hot air. And, you know, and I kept people at distance by me talking about how great I was. And so that was my first time ever being vulnerable. And I got to see the fruit of that. And it just instructed me of, man, there's a lot of people out there struggling. I got to be more vulnerable. I can't be this big show off. And so that started a very different path for me. And that started me being more vulnerable, sharing more of the things that some people wouldn't share. And that's why, if you want your number one best chance at growing your following, your connections, your relatedness, your everything, vulnerability. And so being vulnerable and guess what? That takes faith. You know, that takes you trusting that the Lord's going to, you know, bless this and cover this and help this. And so there's a bit of faith, or maybe a lot of faith, in you sharing your trauma, or the day you wanted to quit, or the struggles, or the punches in the face that you've taken, or the people that betrayed you, or any of those things. And so I would say that's the thing. And I really believe we're called to help the person we used to be. And so whatever we've been through, and that's also scriptural, Judges 3:1-2 says the Lord allowed some of the Israelites to experience war so that they could train those who had not experienced war. Well, we've experienced our own wars that have equipped us, and we've overcome them or survived them or gotten through them. We can go and help others do that same thing.
Faith over fear, Ray.
That's right, man. That's right. Hey, wherever you're afraid, that is where you lack faith. It's exactly pinpointed the exact place that you do not trust God. So some people will stay in a job or career that they can't stand, but it makes them money, because they don't believe the Lord can provide something better.
Yeah.
So they'll stay there. They'll stay miserable. And, you know, and there's a proverb that says, a diligent hand shall rule while lazy are put to forced labor. And you think about that, like forced labor, is that slavery? Well, how many people are in a career that's lucrative, but they can't stand, it's not their purpose, they're not fulfilled, but it pays the bills. And so I believe lazy doesn't necessarily mean physically lazy, but just lazy in faith. Like I have absolute faith. He's called me to do crazy things. I mean, he's had me do altar calls at business events that aren't Christian of 500 leaders. I did that in Arizona, and I was very nervous, and I really didn't want to do it, but I knew he was telling me to do it. And so, like, you know, moving in faith, he had us in Israel. I think you know this story, but he had us in Israel on October 7th. You know, we went from selfies and gift shops to the bomb shelter 3 times. And so he's had us in very uncomfortable scenarios, but all of that is just to grow us, because that's the Lord's nature, is to grow us.
Yeah. Now you've experienced it, but for the viewers, for people that haven't, let's kind of talk about the fear and how you coach the mindset around that. Because like the coaching I've seen you do on mindset is excellent and paramount. Let's get into that a little bit, because fear's real, man. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So one of the instructions is speak to yourself more than you listen to yourself. And you know, you want to, you know, like there's a verse, it's 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And another, by the way, another way that Jesus is known is the word of God, right? And so what if I'm taking whatever negative thoughts I'm having and making them obedient to the word of God? Well, he doesn't give us, First Timothy, I think 1:7, I think, is he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I know that fear is not from God. He doesn't want us afraid. And so it's, how do I notice the fear, be aware of the fear, and follow his instructions of let me cast all of my anxiety on him because he cares for me. And so it's more quickly noticing and capturing, those negative thoughts, right? And what's interesting is, like I studied Joe Dispenza for, for 2 years before I came to Christ. And he has a lot of similar things. He's like, you got to be aware of your thoughts. You got to tame them. You got to ride the bucking bronco. You got to cross the raging river of change, and you got to, enter that dark night of the soul where you no longer want to be this person over here, but you're not exactly sure who you want to be. And the difference is between self-development and faith in the Lord is actually, you think it's close, it's not. It's actually night and day. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So there are so many times where I just rest assured that I can't do this thing, but he can. And that's okay. And it works out magically. It has led me to a magical, mysterious life of just trusting and obeying in him. And he's improved every single area of my life. I've gone from, I don't know what I was when I saw you, but I've gone from 205 pounds to 173. I'm actually stronger than I've been since I was in my early 20s, 47 years old. I have, my relationship with my wife is just, it's so, I mean, it's always been good. It's so much better. My relationship with my kids. I went through a 6-month period where my oldest son wouldn't call me, wouldn't text me, wouldn't talk to me. He turns 27 this Sunday. We now text, FaceTime, or call daily. Like God has, by me trusting and obeying and me not staying in fear, has improved every single area of my life. There is no area of my life that he hasn't improved. And so his nature is to grow us. And so when we're in fear, that's where we're not trusting him. But ask, get into prayer and say, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from this? So I'll tell you a fun story. So last month, I transferred a substantial amount of money from two different investment accounts. And they said, hey, you'll have it, Friday, latest Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I don't, did I tell you this story?
No,
I
I
don't
haven't
think I
heard
did.
that.
Yeah. And so I transfer it, substantial amount of money. And Friday comes, Monday comes, Tuesday comes. The money's gone from the accounts, not in my bank account. And so I notice, of course, I notice it and I pray. I'm like, Lord, should I do anything about this? Should I call the bank? No. Am I going to get the money? Yes. Okay. And so I walked in his promise more than the circumstance. A week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, money gone, not in my bank account, 3 weeks. And so, Lord, I'm going to get it, right? Yep. Okay, great. I wasn't stressed. And I get an email. It was like 3 weeks in one day, I think.
There's a
And she's,
battle that, I mean, you've trained yourself and you've trusted and so, but
yes.
it still creeps in, right? Like it's creeping in, you're doing battle.
I catch it. I catch it. We're to take captive every thought. I catch it. I was not stressed the entire time. And so 3 weeks and I think a day, she messages me and says, hey, we just need your verbal to release this money. And I'm like, okay, great. And so, then it comes. And so, okay, what was the Lord doing? The Lord blessed me by not giving me the money right away. He blessed me by growing me in peace and patience. And so I now know I have peace and patience. And so, Romans 5:3-4 talks about how we rejoice in our tribulation because tribulations create perseverance, which creates character, which creates hope. And hope is a future thing. So now that I've endured that with zero stress, I had no stress. I now know, what else can I do? What else can I walk in? And so you don't grow in peace when it's peaceful. You grow in peace when there's turmoil, when there's chaos. You don't grow in love when everyone around you is loving on you. You grow in love when there's hatred, when there's resentment, when there's betrayal, when there's negative stuff. And if, you know, Jesus told us, if you only love those who love you, what difference is that to you? And so I had a fun example of this. January 1st last year, I was at a 7-Eleven store doing, I don't know what I was doing, but I was doing something. And I asked the guy behind the counter, I'm like, I don't even remember what I was asking him for, but I asked him for something. And he says, "You can figure it out." And he turns around. Rude, right?
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I felt a little like, And so I walk out, I don't say anything, right? I'm at least trained that well, right? You know, at that point, I don't say anything. I don't say, you know, "Hey, buddy," you know, I don't do any of that. I walk out, I go to put my hand on the car door and I get, "You could do better." And I pull my hand away. I'm like, "Yeah." So I walk back in there and I said, "Hey man, I'm sorry you're having a bad day." And he goes, "Dude, I'm so sorry, man. You didn't deserve that, man. I had a really bad night last night, but you don't deserve that. I'm trying to be better." We had a wonderful, loving conversation because he was rude. See, that's how you grow in kindness, gentleness, respectfulness, and love, is in the absence of it. And that's what stands out. You know, we're called to be the light of the world, the city on the hill that can't be hidden. But how do we do that if we only forgive those who are sorry? How do we do that if we only love those who love us? And so that's how the Lord, his nature is to always grow us. And so, you know, my good friend and my favorite teacher right now is a guy named Graham Cook out of Santa Barbara. And he says, with God, you can't fail a test, but you will get unlimited opportunities to pass it. So said it another way, the lesson's repeated until it's learned. So if you are angry, frustrated, disappointed, triggered, if you're any of those things and you don't learn anything, it's coming back. Because God loves you so much, he wants you to be stronger than that circumstance. He wants you to be more, you know, he wants you to be stronger for the territory he's actually calling you to take over. But he can't call you into the promised land if you're still bickering, if you're still getting triggered easily, if you're still offended by others, if you still need validation from others, you're not ready for the territory he's calling you for. And so if you can take any situation that you're triggered, angry, frustrated, et cetera, and you say, "Lord, what am I to learn from this? Help, thank you, Father, thank you for helping me learn whatever I'm supposed to learn from this," and he'll help you every single time.
Yeah, it's so interesting. That's one of those things where you feel like if you're repeating the same mistakes over and over, you feel like, "Oh, I'm in the same situation again." Okay, maybe back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Get some perspective and really ask, what can I learn from this, as opposed to what's in it for me?
Yeah, or why is this happening to me? It's happening because he loves you so much. He wants you stronger. That's why it's happening. And so just, you know, turn to him.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, man.
Solid nuggets. So I'm curious, you mentioned something earlier about how you love all aspects of your business now.
Yeah.
Is that, were there actually shifts as far as like, are you just speaking more? Are you just coaching more? Or is it all just how you see the landscape and the narrative of your company?
Yeah, you know, he keeps it interesting, you know. So I do, you know, I enjoy my speaking events for sure. I don't want to travel as much as I used to. I mean, there was a point in my life where I was 22 days a month on the road: Vegas, Chicago, Phoenix, Miami, LA, and so I never want to go back to that. But I, you know, I enjoy speaking events. He has me doing a lot more group coaching stuff. You know, where I get in with either a sales team or I do my own thing and people come from all, you know, different companies, but he keeps it interesting. You know, right now I'm helping a $60 million a year pet food company, but I'm also helping a startup revolutionary grass-fed beef company. And these guys have figured out the reason that a lot of grass-fed beef doesn't taste very good, it's not tender, is because farmers have figured out if they only grass feed and finish them, they only get to about 1,000 pounds. And so they slaughter them too soon because you gotta feed them 100 pounds a day of grass to keep them at that weight, but they won't grow bigger. So let's just reap the rewards now. Well, these guys have figured out this way of using homegrown sprouts, which are grass, to get them to full capacity. So like you're getting the marbling, you're getting the tenderness. We believe that this is going to be the first USDA prime grass-fed beef like ever. And so like the Lord keeps it interesting. Like these guys came out of nowhere. Like where'd they come from? And so he keeps it interesting with projects, with clients. One thing I have noticed is he has been moving away those who don't appreciate me. He's moved people out of my life. He's moved projects out of my life where I wasn't appreciated. And not that, I mean, I'm game to go whether I'm appreciated or not if it's his will, but it's nice that he's doing that.
Yeah. So using the grass-fed, because this was my next question, using that company as an example, when they first come to you, initial phone call, email, whatever it is, what's that relationship look like? How's it evolve? Like, do you dive right in, to the numbers, or what's that look like when they're coming to you and saying, "Hey, we want to increase our revenue and we want to do it right."
So for them, it's all about uniqueness. And so they were looking at all the other grass-fed beef companies. There's a bunch of them. Most of them are smaller, but there's a bunch of them out there. And they were looking to price their meat accordingly, according to everybody else. And I'm like, no, you need to stand out. You gotta stand out. You guys are doing something different than all of them. You are gonna have the best tasting grass-fed beef that exist. There is no other company that will even come close because their homegrown sprouts are so much more nutritious than the grass that even the grass-fed beef guys are feeding, right? It's going to be so much better. And you need to really clarify that. You need to be willing to not just, be the nice guy of the grass-fed beef world. You got to point out, here's why most grass-fed beef doesn't taste that great. You got to be willing to say that, and you got to be willing to stand out. I got to land on your page and know, okay, oh wow, this is different. Like you need to stand out. What is your unique selling proposition? And so that is just the absolute key. And then my part of my
Well,
role with
it
the
kind of comes back to authenticity and vulnerability, right? Here's the real deal.
Yeah, and just how do I stand out? Why, if you drop down to the third question that I mentioned, why should they buy from me? Here's why. Here's exactly why. Not because we're another grass-fed beef, but because this stands out, right? We don't use any hormones. We don't use any antibiotics. All this stuff. And then my role with them is to help them bring in affiliates, to help them, get into different marketplaces, and they know what they're doing. I'm not going to improve their slaughtering or whatever they do, right? But just to help them with their marketing, have pristine, killer marketing, get them connected with different, biohackers and different people that like, grass-fed beef, and also get them in different markets that they, might not get into. But part of that is just recognizing, okay, you need to stand out. It reminds me, in Philly. I heard this story and I had to go have one, but in Philadelphia, there's a lot of restaurants, right? There's a lot of great restaurants. And there was many years ago, probably, I don't know how many now, but many years ago, there was a new restaurant launching and they wanted to stand out. And so they hired this PR consultant and this marketing guy. And he said, I know what you need. You need a $100 cheesesteak. And they're like, $100 cheesesteak? Absolutely. And so they have, and now, when I had it, it was 125. It's now 140. Okay, it's got lobster, it's got truffles, it's got filet, like it's whatever. But that is a restaurant called Barclays in Philly, and that stood out. So they were packed immediately in a rest in a town full of great restaurants. This brand new thing was packed immediately because of that gimmick, right? Because it was unique, it was different. People went, I want to see what this even looks like. Like,
it's
you
so
know.
funny. It's so funny you're saying that. I just saw that business model yesterday.
Oh, nice.
The $1,000 steak.
Oh, there you go.
And
Yeah, that'll pack out.
They bring it to you in the beef case. And it's like, you know, it's like lit with
I love it.
LEDs, and it's smoking from liquid nitrogen, and they bring it to you raw,
Wow.
and they brand it. But it's like, you're not paying for the steak.
Yeah.
Paying for the experience and the
You'll
fact
talk about it forever.
The fact that it's $1,000 steak, which is
Yeah.
insanity,
Yeah.
but is the experience worth $1,000? If sure, if you have
I
the
mean,
$1,000
think
to
about it.
spend, I guess.
I ate at that restaurant. It probably was 9 years ago.
Yeah, and we're having a conversation
Still
about
talking about it. Like,
100%.
I've been to a lot of restaurants. Yeah, I can't remember any of them right now because that one stood out. So how does your brand stand out? Why should people buy from you? Why are you different than all the other schmucks in the marketplace? Like, what's different about you? So for a long time, you know, I was, you know, good at teaching people how to get better at sales, how to follow up, you know, how to have better funnels and all that different stuff. But there were a lot of people that roughly were like me. You know, now it's just a little bit different because I teach people how to have a faith-based, you know, kind of infrastructure and a platform. You may not be in faith, you know, putting God first doesn't mean that you become a Christian company or even a faith-based company, but it's staying in step with the Spirit. It's learning how to hear from Him and having His wisdom guide you in all of your ways. And that's what I consider putting God first, is going to Him, you know, before you go into a meeting. Are you praying about it? You know, are you asking for wisdom in this meeting from Him? Or are you just going in with your normal, you know, thinking? And so that's, you know, what I help people with. And that's, you know, a little different than most.
How much pushback do you get when you're telling them that they need to stand out? Because that's something like, unless you've been on stage and really comfortable with public speaking and or being even the star athlete, the star whatever, the spotlight. When that first happens, that can be scary, intimidating, and there's pushback, I imagine, unless these people are already all at a level where it's just go time. What's your experience with that?
That comes to one of the first things I check for is sabotage. For example, people that are worried about standing out, a lot of them had siblings. And a lot of them were the good sibling. And so mom and dad said, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? And so they drew this conclusion that when the limelight is shined on them, that someone else is being harmed. And so I look for that kind of sabotage. Another form of sabotage is, did you watch your parents make a bunch of money then lose it? Well, a lot of people will actually create a program of, well, I don't want to make a bunch of money or I'll just lose it. And that's not a conscious thought, that's a subconscious thought. And so, you know, that is one of the things. So, you know, I have to do my very best to draw it out of them that, hey, you could be running the hamster wheel for years and years and years if you don't stand out. But then I do look for, is there any sabotage around that? Sometimes it's a spiritual thing. Sometimes there's things we need to pray off of them. But, you know, if there's sabotage, we discover that.
Yeah. Powerful. And it's, so that's that self-awareness piece. And you just coach them into getting out of their own way, essentially, when it comes to that.
Yeah. Of what does that look like? You know, sometimes, again, that may involve prayer. I believe that there's always a battle that all of us have to overcome. And it's an inner battle, you know, like, we all have these things, that observations we made as kids, observations we made, earlier in life, that we need to overcome. And these are belief systems, strongholds, et cetera. And so there are things that we're meant to overcome, but there are some things that you're not meant to overcome. You're meant to just get off you. And, you know, sometimes that's the case too.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Well, I know you have a hard stop. So I do kind of want to get things wrapped up. I want to make sure once again, people know about the Faith Driven Network Marketer. That book it's still a bestseller. I know it was a bestseller, right? It looks like it's yeah. still gaining. Last question though, I did want to ask you because I've watched it quite a few times now, The Home Business Profits, the podcast. What's your favorite thing about that? About creating it, interviewing, is there some highlights? Just touch on like one glory moment or one reason why you just know you're supposed to be in that podcast.
I just love the stories, you know, that I hear from people that get benefit from it. You know, for example, that story about my dad, I've gotten probably 100 letters from people, 100 direct messages or emails or letters of people that heard that story, reconnected with their mom, dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, whatever, right? Three times I've had someone hear my story, they were all dads, reconnect with their dad, and then shortly after their dad died.
Yeah.
So literally, like, they had to hear that story in that time or they would have lost the chance. And so I just, I know that God's guiding me and directing me, and I'm just so grateful for that. And so, yeah, you know, I'll keep pumping it out there. Some stand out, and the ones that stand out are typically the ones where there's vulnerability there, either with the person I'm interviewing or myself.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, I won't let you go before our hard stop. I really appreciate your time. As you know, professionally and personally, I appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully I get to see you soon.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, the 37 minute video is an amazing gift. Check that out. And once again, Ray, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, everybody.